it's Steve and Dave again. We are two guys in a river. I'm Steve Mathewson.
And I'm Dave Getz.
No doubt we all want to catch more fish. I want to, and Dave needs to.
Ooh, that hurts.
But we're all about fly fishing and our love for the outdoors, so let's get after it. My podcast partner, Dave, is an expert when it comes to marketing. That's a key part of his vocation. That is his business that funds his pursuit of fly fishing.
That's right.
I probably understated that. I mean, Dave is brilliant and savvy when it comes to marketing. But even though that's his domain, I think I have a great name for a line of fly rods or even fly fishing apparel. Are you ready for this?
I'm not sure I am, but I think you're going to let me know whether I want to or not.
That's right. Well, first, should I patent it before I share it?
Hey, you better get the domain of some... I agree, you should.
Yeah.
Trademark it.
Okay, well, here we go. Here's the name of my proposed company or line of fly rods or fly fishing apparel. Drum roll, here it is. Simplicity.
That's it? Simplicity?
Yes, simplicity. Here, try casting this Simplicity 9-foot 6-weight rod. Hey, Dave, nice pair of Simplicity waders. What do you think?
Could I use your Simplicity nippers?
Yeah, that's right.
That even sounds bad.
Oh, boy.
Well, it is simple.
Exactly. And that's our topic today, the simple fly fisher. Simplicity in fly fishing. You know, all kidding aside, one of the key traits of an effective fly fisher is simplicity, right?
Absolutely, because I think the more you fly fish, the more you, I think, move to, if you're growing, you move to simplicity. And there's that phrase, simplicity on the far side of complexity.
Yeah.
And I think it was Oliver Wendell Holmes, the Supreme Court Justice, said that. And it's this idea of that once you learn something, you to get to the other side, it's not like things are simple, but with the complexity of fly fishing,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And with all the flies you can use and all the information, you have to get to a point on the other side of that of simplicity.
Yes.
I think that's the vision for today's episode.
Yeah, we're always trying to simplify things. I mean, we talked on our previous episode about dry fly patterns for summer, and the options are endless, aren't they?
Yeah, they really are. It's overwhelming.
Yeah, so if you don't simplify, it's just going to be frustrating. So let's talk about keeping fly fishing simple. Here are some practical tips.
So the first is to simplify your fly selection. And now in one of the recent episodes on summer fly fishing patterns, we gave you three. I think mine was an elk hair caddis, a purple haze, and some form of, I think, a PMD.
Right.
And that was for dry flies, right? So you can think about that for nymphs, maybe even emergers, and also streamers. But you simplify it really through the patterns you select and that you keep prominently. My guess is that if you looked at your fly box, there are probably a handful of patterns that you fish 90% of the time.
Oh, I know that's true for me. Yeah.
So with both, so you simplify your fly selection with patterns, the ones your go-to patterns, and then sizes as well. And I think in that episode when we talked about the summer fly fishing patterns, we talked about size 18, at least where we fish in the driftless. That's pretty much as big as you can fish on the surface.
Yeah.
And unless you're fishing in a tractor pattern, even so, you know, those small spring creeks, you just need smaller patterns. So,
right.
I mean, I don't know that I buy much larger than size 18 for almost any fly that I have.
Yeah, once in a while on an attractor pattern, especially later in the summer, I'll float a 14 or something. But yeah, keep it simple. I don't, you know, the go-to flies, say like for me, a Parachute Adams or a Purple Haze, I have them in 20, 18, and maybe I have a couple in 14. If I'm going to go to a 14, I'm probably going to use an attractor pattern, or even something like an elk hair caddis. So it's not like I've got this pattern, everything from a 12 to a 22. I just don't. Two or three sizes on each one. So, that's key. Simplify your fly selection. I think another one is to simplify your fly rod inventory. And maybe that's not an issue for some of you. If you've just got into fly fishing, all you have is one fly rod. But you find out that fly rods are a little bit like golf clubs. All of a sudden, you have to have one for every possible situation. And the first thing I would say is have an all-around fly rod. For me, when I'm fishing in the West, that's going to be a 9'6" weight. Although we've learned that 9'5" weight is kind of the standard, right? It's the most common. I like the 6.
Why do you like the 6?
I think it's just a little heavier, and often fishing those bigger rivers, doesn't feel too heavy, but my sense is maybe it just gives you a little bit more of an edge when there's wind.
Wind, yeah. I would say for wind, that is the one thing. I would say the 9'6" helps me. And given my level of sophistication, can I really tell the difference between a 5 weight and a 6 weight?
Yeah.
6 weight on a big river, but at least psychologically, I like that 9'6" as the best overall fly rod.
Yeah, and I think then it still stays in that all-around category, but I don't feel like I have to go to something heavier when I'm stripping streamers. That's where I really like that 6 weight. Then, if you want to add a smaller rod, that's fine for dry flies or small streams. I should say, if you're fishing in small streams a lot, if you're in the Driftless, or maybe you're back in Pennsylvania where you're in a lot of smaller spring creeks, maybe your go-to rod is an 8.5-4 weight, or if all you're doing is dry fly fishing, maybe a 7'3" weight, something like that. But have a larger, or have a good all-around fly rod that you can fish in most conditions, and then go ahead and add a smaller rod for dry flies or small streams.
I use a 7.5-3 weight.
Yeah.
And it actually works beautifully for the Driftless, and I can still cast a streamer. Can't be a size 6 streamer generally.
Yeah.
But 8s or 10s, I can cast with that thing. So
if you're in the Midwest primarily fishing, those small spring creeks, that's a great choice. Now, I would say too that you only need to go bigger if you're going to fish. I'm thinking here of like an 8 weight or a 10 weight. If you're going to fish for steelhead or salmon, or you're fishing for trout that are consistently 24, 25 inches, and with that comes some girth. I mean, that's a big fish. But you'd be surprised what you can land on a 6 weight. I was in Alaska. It's been a decade ago now, and I was fishing a stream one day, and I actually tied into I had my 9'6" weight Winston, and I tied into a big, king salmon.
Oh my gosh.
And I fought that thing for about 10 minutes, and I thought, maybe I could get this in without breaking my rod, but I wasn't too confident, so finally I snapped it off. I was kind of curious, but not curious enough because there was too much risk involved. But if you're catching big fish, you've got to go a little bit larger. But I think sometimes it's fun if you really get into fly fishing and that's your hobby. My brother now is into kind of retro fiberglass rods, and he just got an Orvis fiberglass. He showed it to me. I really felt good. I liked the action on it, and he thinks it's a blast, and that's fine. You want to do that, and that's fun, do it. But just for all-around catching purposes, if you're new to fly fishing, have one all-around fly rod, and then go from there. Then should you go bigger or smaller? Well, it depends. Is most of your fishing going to require something smaller? I mean, are you... you fishing more for small stuff, or if you live in a place where you have this all-around rod, but you're consistently fishing for those big lunkers, well, then go bigger. It doesn't have to be complicated.
No, it doesn't. And I think that's the thing is, and what you'll find is you can have I remember that guide that we worked with, forget his name, we fished the Madison. He had did he say 50 or 60 rods?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, he had a, I mean, that's a library.
Yeah. Oh yeah, exactly. So,
but wow. You know, he had different rods, he had different reels on every, he had all these combinations. He was very sophisticated, and I'm sure he used a lot of them. But I still think that, you know, 95% of the time you're using one rod, or 90% of the time.
Yep. What else, Dave?
So another is to simplify your tippet selection. And
well, that's a good one, man.
So, I mean, obviously you can have 0 and 1X, 2X, 3X, 4X, 5X, 6X, 7X, you know, which is really thin and really small. But
yeah, the higher the number, the smaller in diameter.
Yeah, and the lighter the tippet, right? So
yep.
we could use 7X in the Driftless. I mean, because it's you know, those spring creeks are not big, but we use 5X and 6X tippet for dry fly. So I just make sure I have a lot of that. I wouldn't really have to carry 4X because I don't use 4X that much for nymphing. I usually use 2 or 3, usually 3 if I'm doing, not nymphing, but
streamers. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
So we use 5X and 6X tippet mostly for dry fly fishing and nymphs.
And for nymphs.
For nymphs. Mm-hmm. That's right. And then 3X and 4X for big streamers. I would say I probably use 2X and 3X. So there are two types of tippet, right? You can use fluorocarbon or monofilament. You know, if you're using, some people are, you know, will swear by fluorocarbon that it's stronger, doesn't nick, it's a little more long lasting. You know, if you're using both monofilament and fluorocarbon, I would just say you can simplify by just having one. The point here, again, of this whole episode is to keep it simple. And, you know, the complexity of having 2 1X, one in fluorocarbon, one in monofilament, it just seems complicated to me. So this is just another area where I've tried to simplify my fly fishing life.
Right. Dave, another area that I think we can simplify is what goes in your vest or your day pack. Wow, if you're not careful, that fly vest can get heavier than a flak jacket. So some of the must-haves, I would say, and you can agree or disagree with me, nippers for sure, fishing forceps, you know, hemostat, that helps you take hooks out of a fish's mouth. Definitely your fly boxes. Yeah, you need leaders, you need split shot. Again, not 10 varieties, but you know, a couple small bags of split shot. We like fly dressing, and I like an extra little bottle of that shake and dry stuff. That's good. I have some strike indicators, first aid kit, and tippet material. That sounds like a lot, but those are all pretty small items. That's not a lot of stuff, but those are
pretty key. You have a pocket knife in there too?
Yeah, I usually do keep a pocket knife. Sometimes that's just in my pocket. But
were you an old Boy Scout? Cub Scout? Were you an old Boy Scout?
No, I wasn't. I was probably a wannabe, but I think I was too busy out fishing and playing outdoors to do the formal stuff. Here's some things that are optional. So one would be a thermometer. Those are usually so small. I do keep a thermometer every once in a while. I'm just curious, want to know, especially if it's on a warm day, you know, what the water temp is like. Some guys will take a hook sharpener. I don't know, Dave. I never have.
I never have either.
It's something I haven't done. I don't bother with a leader straightener. You know, there's other gadgets too. I think even on fly boxes, I've gone to those really thin, I think you have too, really thin fly boxes. And I try to, I don't put together a new fly box for a particular trip, but I have, you know, here's a fly box with dries, here's one with nymphs, here's a little bit bigger one with streamers, and I really tried to minimize even the fly selection. I mean, yeah, we talk about simplifying flies. Well, then that helps with space as well. And that's space and weight, and that's the issue here. I mean, when you're simplifying what you put in your vest and day pack, it's really to cut down on, bulk and especially on weight. because that really makes a difference. And then even finding stuff, I try to keep things in the same pockets. Not everybody does, but it just makes things go more quickly.
So the fifth one is to simplify where you fish. Now, this might seem a little odd, and even as I say this, it feels a little odd, but you and I are all about trying out new rivers, so this principle isn't about the status quo. But you and I, through the years, have developed some patterns that have simplified our fly fishing decision-making about where we fish. So some of you have to fly to where you fly fish, meaning it's a really big event. So this might not be as easy to do, but you know, we have the Wisconsin Driftless, we have the Minnesota Driftless, we have Montana, and in each of those three areas, we have two or three streams that we go to regularly. Now in Montana, it's probably more than that, but we just have a plan about, like, for example, in the Driftless, if the river is filled here, we'll go over here. In other words, if it's crowded here, we'll go here. But we typically fish a lot of the same stretches, so you don't have to think about it. So it has created a kind of simplicity. Like, I know our winter fishing, we just have some patterns about where we fish in the winter in the Driftless, right?
Yeah.
And it's so easy to fish because you're not thinking about what river you're going to fish and where you're going to stay, because that stuff is already there because you've just done it 1,000 times. So I don't know if this is even should fit in the category, but simplifying where you fish, I think, is can really help you just get into a way that makes fishing more simple and simplified for you.
It does, and it helps, doesn't it, if you're fishing somewhere that's good. That's, yeah, I mean, last year we fished the same river, the same spot every day for 4 days in a row.
Yeah, we did.
And we would have gone back another day, but we fished with a friend and went somewhere different, but it was... Yeah, and
why change something if it's working?
Yeah, that's really so. It. And even if you want to try some different spots, kind of limiting that number, that's a key, or it just gets overwhelming. You know, something else you can simplify is your cast. You know, your first cast may require a couple of back and forths to get your line out, but the one thing we've heard consistently over the years from videos we've watched, from people we know, from guides we fished with, from friends that really know what they're doing is, you know, don't keep going back and forth with your line. Just, to get line out there when you first, you know, walk down to the river's edge or in the river, okay, you may have to do that a few times, but once you make that first cast, ideally, when you pick it up, you flip it back and you flip it forward on the stream. You don't need a lot of what are called false casts. And the more false casting you do, I mean, what's the problem with that, Dave?
So a couple things. One is the shadow of your cast can spook fish. You know, you get caught in the back brush with it.
Yeah, I've heard about that before. I wonder what that's like. Yeah.
Or, you know, you simply lay it down on the water before you intend, like one of your casts actually drops on the water. There's just a lot of reasons why false casting, it's something that is probably basic to fly fishing. You have to do it on some level. But limiting it is what's so important.
Right. You may have to do it to get more line out.
Absolutely.
That's really the only reason. But if you do too much false casting, the other thing it does is it leads to tangles, especially if you have a dropper on. That is, have a fly on, and then there's some 8-10 inches of tippet and another fly. It's just maddening. So, yeah, learn to simplify your cast. Less is more, and if you watch a fly fisher who really knows what they're doing, they're not putting on some kind of a visual
clinic
show,
casting,
right? Where you're
right?
going back and forth and back and forth. It's like, you know, back cast, lay it on the water.
I've really worked hard on that with my with my 7.5 3-weight when I'm fishing the Driftless. A lot of those small runs where you cast it up and it's drifting down, but you pick it up before it gets all the way back to you, and with one cast, you're picking up it and casting with one mm-hmm. cast, and you don't false cast at all.
Yeah, right.
And so that means you have to learn to basically load that rod so that the line shoots out, right? That's really, really important. So yeah, I love this to simplify your cast with fewer false casts. It's great.
Good.
All right, here's the last one.
All right.
Simplify your day .. by ending early and going to Bob's Bitchin' Barbecue.
That's right. Yes, that's right.
So at this point is just, we've done this on days when we're not catching fish, and we've done this on days when we were sated and we had caught so many fish. We thought, I remember one time on the, gosh, was it the Yellowstone? I can't remember, but by 10 o'clock, we had each caught about 30 fish.
Yeah.
And and we saw some fishers moving in. There was some pressure. And we thought, you know, I think we're done.
Yeah.
And we quit like at 10. We may have not been 10. May have been 10:30 or 11.
Yeah.
We just walked off the river, went out to lunch. I don't even know what we did the rest of the day. Maybe we fished later that evening, but not in that spot. The point here is, you can simplify your day if you're not catching any fish by leaving. And sometimes we do it when you've had a great day and there's nothing else to say. And there's no need to ruin it by ending the day when you're not catching fish.
Exactly. And
so you quit early.
That's right.
So go home.
There you go. So there you have it. Keep it simple, my friend. And if you're looking for a new line of fly rods and gear, well, my new company, Simplicity, isn't off the ground yet. But who knows? One of these days.
Yeah, so keep it simple and stick with the tried and true brands, and probably not Steve's Simplicity brand, like the harebrained line that he's envisioning. I do think, as a new fly fisher, you're just overwhelmed.
Yes.
So even the concept of simplicity feels a little bit like too good to be true. But the more fly fishing you do, and the deeper you get into it, it's interesting how the less flies you use, the more you tend to go to one rod, the more you say, I'm going to go to the places where I catch fish. All that is simplicity. And I think it's a really wonderful thing when you get to that place.
It really is. And I think guides know that too. You fish with a guide, you watch good guides, and they figured out, here's the best way to get my clients onto fish, and they've learned to simplify that.
Yeah.
So that's it. What else can we tell you but simplify?
All righty.
Well, that's all for today. Hey, thanks again for listening. I'm Steve Mathewson.
And I'm Dave Getz.
Until next time, we are two guys in a river.
For the love of simple fly fishing.